All Mayapur-based devotees, raise your hands. Respects here. Of course, it's not humanly possible to complete exhaustively discussing all these 20 topics. But we are going to just have a preliminary idea, a little bit of idea on each of these topics, as many topics as possible today. So we have some devotees will speak on the Vedic aspects, and the other devotees will speak on the modern outlook to the same topic. And you see all the topics put up there? So these are the topics put up there. So it will be very interesting to make a comparative study of the Vedic life and the modern life. This afternoon we were discussing the relevance of Vedas to the modern man. So somebody may say, Vedas, it seems that Vedas are all written in Sanskrit, and we don't know whether God gave it or whether some sages and saints in the times of the pure, they have written. But how is it relevant to a fast-paced modern man? Modern man is so busily running here and there, flying. How is it applicable to the modern man? So we just started thinking deeply whether modern man at all has any touch with Vedic concepts. And to our great surprise, we could immediately jot down 12 headings which modern man certainly is trying to extract information from the Vedas. So there is a mic, another mic, we'll give it to the audience. Let us say, let us see who can say, some interested in, say, Vastu Shastra, for example. Vastu Shastra. Like in Canada, they say a huge building has been totally demolished to the ground level, and they have reconstructed it because of having some problem in Vastu. See, when there's a problem in Vastu, one cannot be successful in business, or there'll be fire accidents and things like that, when the Vastu of the building is not proper. So according to Vastu Shastra, the water body has to be at a particular location, and the latrine bathroom has to be at a particular location. So now worldwide this Vastu is becoming famous. Similarly, can you think of other fields that are explained in the Vedas which are used by modern man? Who can think? You can raise your hand and the mic will come to you. If any of you can think of some of the Vedic things that are of great... very good. Meditation, stress management, and peace of... to gain peace of mind and mind control and stress management, modern man wants to learn about meditation. Very good, yeah. Like that, you all can add more to this. Anybody else? Okay, very correct. Now we have Ayurvedic soaps, we have Ayurvedic toothpaste, and we have Ayurvedic medicines. And there are Ayurvedic medicines which can cure diseases which are incurable by allopathy. You all know that. Like the cow urine, when I went to Mayapur, I saw cow urine can cure more than 100 diseases. There are many of them which cannot be cured by allopathy. Yeah, like that. Very good. Good example. Anything else? Yeah? Astrology. Very correct. Yeah. People say astrology to know the person's nature. And to when to begin, why, what to begin. People refer to astrology and it's very helpful. Very correct. Yeah. Then? Yeah? Using the Sanskrit language because it's a versatile language. Having all the vowels and consonants in all the worldwide languages. Sanskrit has everything, so they're using Sanskrit. Very correct. Very nice. Anything more? Yeah. Yoga. Very correct. So performing yoga asanas, why do people do yoga? To keep a healthy body. Now modern man is coming to know that I may be working in a multinational company, but because of lack of exercise, you know, my neck becomes tight and I get a back pain. One gets ulcers in the mouth and one gets indigestion and things like that. When one does yoga, one can keep good health. So actually yoga is not only for good health, yoga has to be performed to control the body and mind and senses to focus on the Supreme Lord. But anyway, people find yoga very practically helpful. They have seen beneficial results in their everyday life. Very correct. And yoga and pranayama also helps to pacify the mind. Yeah? Vegetarianism. Very correct. That is also a concept taken from the Vedas. Now the America is turning towards vegetarianism very fastly, very very rapidly. Yes, anything else?
Education. Education.
Which education?
Like different professions were there at the Vedic style, and in modern we have fierce competition, don't have any particular step for going in different fields. So fierce competition is there. And firstly, there were the good gurukuls are there, so that where we cultivate the different field. Like those who are want in warrior, they are who are was in education field.
But I am asking about the relevance of the Vedic concepts in the modern times. How is it relevant? He's saying Vedic mathematics. Of course, Vedic mathematics is not so much practically used by everyone, but people are trying to understand it to some extent. Like, you know, Vedic mathematics can help you solve a complex problem within a very short time. One sutra, you know, you can multiply a 15-digit by 15-digit number within a few seconds. So we have a book in our library on Vedic mathematics. But man has not gone so deep into that. Man knows very little. Yeah. But I am asking about things which are immediately beneficial. People are seeing beneficial results in their immediate life. Yeah?
Value education for children.
Very correct. Value education. From value education, modern man wants to know value education from the Vedas. Why? He wants to control the crime rate. He wants to control adultery and all kinds of problems in the society. Business ethics. He wants to teach business ethics to the leaders so that by the values people will become like human beings.
Recently in companies they are finding out spiritual quotient of the people.
SQ. Like we have IQ and EQ, now we have spiritual quotient, yeah.
And also man is trying to go back to Vedic way of farming, like they are using natural fertilizers.
That is called as simple living. Organic foods and things like that, yeah. Correct. So these are things which we can practically see, modern man, using the Vedic concepts in modern life. That means the Vedas are very well relevant to our lives. You all agree, right? We are not talking of, sometimes people think, when we talk of the Vedic life and things like that, they think, why are you talking strange things? Something of the times of the world. How is it relevant to our life? You know, we are living in the modern world, you know. We are running here and there so busily. And we are advancing in science and technology. How is the Vedic science relevant, people ask. But we can see its relevance very easily. So many things you can say. And in the course of our discussion today, you will also get to see much, much more. You all said a few things now. When you go ahead, you will see. So we are trying to make a comparative understanding so that our appreciation for the Vedas will be more. By the way, what is the purpose of the Vedas? Who can say? What is the purpose of the Vedas? What is the purpose of our approaching Vedas? Yeah? He's saying the Vedas is the way of life. That's certainly correct. Vedas teach you the way of life. The Vedas teach you the culture. What is the culture with which one should live? But ultimately it's oriented towards making our life harmonious with nature and God. That's the purpose of Vedic life. So we want to understand the Vedas and develop faith in them so that we abide by the injunctions of the Vedas and we live a righteous life. So we can live a life in harmony with nature and God and ultimately return back to the feet of God. That is the purpose of Vedas. So we are going to discuss topic by topic, one by one, and we'll spend a few minutes and these devotees on this side will talk the Vedic perspective and devotees on this side will talk the modern perspective. Isn't it? Correct? Modern perspective they'll talk. So let us take the first topic, protection of women.
Every living entity in this world aspires for protection. As soon as any living, like a child, takes birth, any difficulty that child faces, for that child to defend himself or for the security, he can just cry, that's all. So like that, security, protection, everyone needs. And in the Vedic life, especially the security of women, children, old people, brahmanas, it was focused very much. Just like we see in the examples, like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was touring the whole kingdom, when he saw one cow which was being harmed by another person, wicked person, so he immediately took action. Similarly, Ashwathama, when he killed the children, then when he reported to Duryodhan that he has killed the Pandavas, and when Duryodhan checked the heads of those, So Duryodhan found out that these are not the heads of Pandavas, these are the heads of children. He didn't appreciate Ashwatthama for that. See, even Duryodhan, he didn't want to kill children. So in this way, everyone would aspire for the protection of women, old people, children, brahmanas, like that.
Everyone has to speak on this.
Yeah. You all can, if anyone wants to
speak. Everybody may wonder that why the protection is given. Protection is given because every member which is mentioned here in these points, women, children, cows, brahmanas and old people have something very valuable to support the entire system, the entire society. For example, old people. Nowadays, what the concept people have, that I am not going to speak, they will speak, modern people. But why old people are supposed to give protection or get protection? Because old people, in the Vedic times, Vedic time means a person not only practices his material life or the life which will help him for sustaining himself in the society, community, but at the same time he has spiritual background. So as a person grows in his age, his maturity about the workings of the material world becomes very, very strong. He understands the subtle intricacies of how the life of a person is going through, and he gets wonderful realization and understanding about which aspect of life should be given first priority. And then when younger generation, they are very much into passion and they want to explore the world because they are new. They do not know how world is and how activities are happening. But these old people, because they have seen world, they have become matured in their understanding by applying the principles which are given in the Shastras, they can very nicely guide the young generation so that young generation should not do any mistakes. Similarly, the Brahmanas. Brahmanas in Vedic time were considered as head of the society. Means these are the persons who are knowledgeable in the Vedic literatures. So they know what should be the goal of one's life. And that's why Brahmanas were given special respect. In fact, Brahmanas are considered as counselors. Especially when the big kings were there, especially Rajarshi, like we know about Dhritarashtra and Parikshit Maharaj. They were having Brahmanas as counselors. And they were guiding the Kshatriyas that how you should rule the kingdom. Because Kshatriyas, generally they are having power. So there is a tendency that they may exploit people. But Brahmanas, they give them intelligence that this is how you have to work so that all your population, all the citizens will be nicely taken care of both spiritually as well as materially. So that's why we can go on speaking about every aspect. Every aspect has some relevance in the society and they are very, very important. That's why Shastras give most of the emphasis for their protection.
You see, these five Brahmanas and old people, from the Vedic viewpoint, they are considered weaklings. Why? Like a woman is protected by her father in her childhood and by her husband in her youth and by son in the old age. Now somebody may say, what is the need of protection of a woman? And Prabhupada explains, a 16-year-old boy, 16-year-old girl, if you compare them, you know, a boy can travel anywhere in the world. But if a 16-year-old girl tries to travel alone all over the world, she'll be exploited by the man. Even in the modern times, women know about it better than men. You can ask the women, they can tell you how the man tries to exploit women. So they were protected. And same with other weaklings like children or cows and brahmanas and old people. So the weaker section of society should always be protected. Like brahmanas should be given charity because they don't earn a salary. Brahmanas are actually well-wishers of society. And similarly, the old people are like children also. In their old age, they had to be protected and not neglected. Yeah, you can say more.
In Vedic society, women were very much protected. It was so very important that this was one of the reasons why Arjun says that I would not like to fight. Because if this Mahabharata war would have taken place, as Arjun was anticipating beforehand, he was saying that then all these kings which have assembled here, they will be killed. And all the women who are there, they will be unprotected. And naturally, when the women are unprotected, as Radhesham Prabhu explained, they being the weaklings, so then they will be exploited. And then, naturally, that the result will be unwanted population. Sankaro Narakayeva, as Arjuna says. And then, because they are exploited, then the whole society will be in chaos. It's natural. When the women are unprotected, because they are, though it seems in Vedic society they are always protected, they are weaklings and all, but actually they had a very vital role to play. Because they were supposed to give nice culture, nice samskaras to the children. But if they are only unprotected and they are exploited and they go on wrong path, then the whole society will be led in different direction, in a completely wrong direction. Because they will, if they are only in a bad situation, then naturally the children whom they are guiding, they will be going in the wrong direction. And then naturally the whole society will be in chaos. That's why the protection of the women was very, very important. Arjun makes it a point that this is one of the reasons I would not like to fight. He gives many other reasons, but this is one of the reasons. So we can find this protection of women is so very important. And children also, they are no less, because they are supposed to guide the whole society tomorrow. Today's children are tomorrow's citizens and they are supposed to be the leaders. And if they are not protected, protected means protection in terms of their spiritual culture, the samskaras. Because samskaras, they are the foundation of one's life. If person has good character, character and competence, both is required. In today's world, lot of stress is given on competence, but hardly anybody stresses on character. But the character of a child is formed when he is given protection from his early childhood. So they are also very important. And cows, Prabhupada gives a stress. If a person just has 1 acre of land and one cow, then he can very easily, he can sustain himself very easily. He doesn't have to work very hard. So cow has a so very vital role to play. Her milk, if that is taken by the man, then his brain tissues, they are nicely nurtured, and by that he can understand the very intricate matters of the spiritual understanding. So the cow is so very important. Her milk is considered as a liquid religiosity. So she is also very important. So all these members are very, very important. And that's why they have to be protected at all the times.
And this aspect was so strong in the Vedic culture that although Yudhishthir knew that Dhritarashtra's mentality is not so good, but still he respected. And even the whole Kurukshetra war was finished, and even after that, when they were coming to meet Dhritarashtra, that time also Yudhishthir observed Dhritarashtra's wicked mentality, that he was trying to kill Bhima by his strong embrace. But still, Yudhishthir respected Dhritarashtra because he was old person, and he gave the place in the kingdom and always respected him, always took care of him. So in this way, this protection of old people, women, everything was very much strong in the Vedic culture. And I observed, just like to live in this world, we have water cycle or we have oxygen cycle. So these cycles are very much helpful. So similarly, I observed a kind of cycle in these protections. Just like when we are protecting a child through our Vedic culture, then that child respects the Vedic culture. And then as he grows, he tries to imbibe those Vedic cultures and follows that Vedic culture in his life and supports it. So in this way, it comes a cycle. Similarly, when human beings, they are protecting brahmanas, and brahmanas, as they receive the protection, they also perform yajñas, and through which rain comes, and then through rain food grains comes, and these food grains are helpful to the human society. And human society, they are protecting brahmanas. So in this way, these cycles are very much helpful to grow in the society. Similarly, when we protect the cows, so cows, they give good milk, and this milk nourishes our spiritual tissues, brain. And in this way, we can easily understand what the Vedic knowledge is, and then we can practice it in our life. So in this way, these cycles, they very much help for the growth and establishment of Vedic life in our society. And thus, we can continue nicely in Vedic civilization.
Sir Radha Mahaprabhu, we can say something about People say in Vedic life women were suppressed, you know, women were not given independence. Now you see, you know, you are talking about protection of women. So often people, they say that in the Vedic times women were not given the kind of freedom we have in the modern times. You can say something about that.
We see that her advice was so much sought when the Pandavas were going to the forest. So she was actually considered, they would not do anything without taking the advice of Kunti Maharani. Although she was a woman, and even when Krishna came, he actually offered her his respects to Kunti Maharani. And even today, like in the Bhagavatam, there are such wonderful prayers of Kunti Maharani, which are recited by the great sages, and they are considered like a very, like a crowning jewel, you know, like a very important aspect of the Bhagavatam. So we see how it's, and also we see even in recent times, for example, Janava Devi, she was a consort of Shri Nityananda Prabhu. And she was considered like the leader of all the Vaishnavas. So it is not that the women were disrespected. They were very much respected in the Vedic society. Unlike in modern day times, it is they artificially seems that they are given equal rights, but actually they are exploited in the modern age. Whereas in the Vedic age, they were really given a respect.
Also, it seems that in the Vedic times, there was Swayamvar. What is the meaning of Swayamvar? Swayamvar means a woman is allowed to choose her husband. There were many princes in the royal assembly, they were allowed to choose their own husband. What kind of suppression is that? We can see that they have had the freedom to choose as Draupadi Swayamvar, Sita Swayamvar. You can talk of many Swayamvars like that you hear. So, women were given training at home and the boys were given training at the Gurukul. Both were trained so that they prepare themselves before they enter into the married life. Want to say anything more? Yeah, this side. When they speak more, we'll come to know more. Yes.
The mic. The modern outlook for protection of women, it is basically they are seem protected through the women's liberation movement. That in 1960s and 70s there was a fad, a kind of a fashion, that why we need to be protected. The women were incited in the way that protection means someone weaker section of the society needs the protection. You have equal rights and you don't need protection. This word protection, they took it in a very derogatory way, very negative way. Just like if the child is asked who is protecting you, child will say, my mother and father, they are protecting us. They are protecting. There is nothing to be ashamed of. But when they quoted the scriptural saying that woman needs protection at all stages, then it said that it is simply to suppress the woman. You are made like that. You are not given rights to study Vedas and you are not given rights to perform yajnas and so forth. Therefore, you are suppressed. Now, what is that? Just come out of your bondage and just go for a woman's liberation. But the problem is that immediately after woman's liberation came the great exploitation of the woman. Just like we see in the the emblem of modern civilization is USA, America. And there we see that how literally the system of marriage is totally extinct now. There is no one literally gets married. And out of 100 marriages, literally 71% of the marriages, they broke in first 3 years. That is the statistics. And then there is so much of the children without, or children with only one parent, or children without the affection and care of both father and mother together, they create so much disturbance. Or like Vedic perspective, we call them at Varna Sankara, they create so much disturbance in the society. So that was the outlook for the woman. For the cow's protection, modern man is really not worried about the cows. They will protect the cows. In fact, USA is number one in protecting the cows only because they can be sent to the slaughterhouses and killed properly. That's all. That is why they are protected. It is said that in USA, literally the 99% of the cows, they are killed. Only the 1% cows, maybe ISKCON has, they are protected properly. Otherwise, the cows are protected. It's not that they are not protected. They are protected, but only for the slaughtering them. So that is, outrightly, there is no protection for the cows. In the sense that, you know, in terms of respect and other things, there is no protection for the cows. And for the old people, modern man has an idea that old people are well protected in the old age homes, you know, the vriddhashrams. Just like these days, the modern civilization is so fast, and it is necessity of the today that both husband and wife are working. At least they have portrayed that, you know, both of you must work, otherwise you cannot survive in this civilization. Therefore, they simply think that this father and mother, maybe they are little useful when our children are small. They can take care of our children. Otherwise, they are simply sent to the old age ashram, you know, old age homes, vriddhashrams. And they are, according to them, very happily staying there. They are getting a lot of space there also, and they are not disturbing our privacy also. But the problem is that the children are also watching that. Our grandparents, they are sent to the old age homes. So you can just imagine that, what they will do to their parents. That is one. And at the same time, the old people, they are feeling so much of disgust in their heart. Because they are not so much worried about the money and food so much. They want a feeling of, love and avoid the loneliness. Recently, there was a survey about the old age homes in Pune. And it is said that 50% of the residents, they were coming from a very highly cultured, accordingly, like modern cultured family with a lot of proper income group. But they are simply treated as a waste in their houses. And they preferred that. Better to stay in the house, we'll go in an old age home. That is much better than my own house. So this kind of protection is offered to the old people. They are given very beautiful names, you know, very attractive names like senior citizens, and there are some concessions for the senior citizens. But basically they are neglected. They are just told that now you are useless from the production point of view. Just keep quiet and sit in one old age home, that's all. That's what it conveys. So that is the idea of protection of old age, old people.
See, the purpose of protecting the old people is, Prabhupada says, just like when a child is newly born, a child doesn't know how to perform sanskars, a new child. So the parents have to perform sanskars on the child, like a newly born child, very small. Similarly, when people become old, the sons and daughters should behave with them in such a way that they will not have any anxiety beyond 60. If the old people at home stay beyond 60, they should be allowed to totally focus their mind and their energies in worshipping God and preparing their consciousness to return back to Godhead. That is why they have to be protected. Very, very important. So in the Vedic life, the protection is given in such a wonderful manner that their mind is not disturbed. As Shankara says, each person is attracted to something. Like Balyavastha, Krida Sakta, Tarunavastha, Taruni Sakta. So a child is attracted to games. And in youth, a boy is attracted to a woman. And Vriddhavastha, Chinta Magna, he says. In old age, one's mind is always in anxiety. But the children should behave in such a way, the sons and daughters, that they will free the chinta. They will free the anxiety from the minds of the old people. And protect them so nicely that they can focus on God consciousness. That's the purpose of protecting the old people.
Actually, in the modern materialistic society, can anyone say, I would like to ask you, what is the goal of the modern materialistic society?
Yeah, another mic here.
It's the wealth creation.
Yes. So creating wealth is the goal of the modern materialistic society. So with this goal, if you see, whatever these materialistic people do makes sense. So now if it comes to protection of women, so they say that women have to be protected, they should be given equal rights, and they should be given equal opportunity to do whatever they want. So we see, what is the result? We see that women have taken the roles of men. They said, whatever men do, we should also do. So men are coming in televisions, so they are also coming in televisions and hoardings and so many other things, you see. So now what do you see? Every billboard you can see, half naked, more or less full naked women with whiskey bottles in their hands, with glasses of, you know, and they are advertising these things. So tell me, is it really protection of women or is it exploitation of women? Why? Because main thing is people want to earn money. For what they want to earn money? Basically for enjoyment purposes. So when the goal is shifted, in the Vedic times the goal was Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Na Anyat Tottosha Karanam. The whole Vedic society was focused on worshipping Vishnu. Control senses, worship Vishnu. When that goal is shifted, now in the modern society it is sense gratification. So we see protection of women, in the name of protection of women, what's going to happen? Exploitation of women. So now women are exploited actually. You see now, one devotee was saying, women said that we want equal rights, so we want to, take up important positions like fire brigade. They want to get into fire brigade. They also want to fly an aircraft and things like that. Even though they are not physically capable, in one sense. But you see, it's not really helped the society very much. Like, some devotee was saying that women have taken up the post of, RTO officers. Road traffic signal controllers. Ever since they have taken up that position, the road accidents have increased. Because people are getting distracted while they are... But in the Vedic society, the women were not even seen because they would always go in the palanquin, they would always have burqa or things like that because they don't want to disturb the opposite sex. But these days in big, big billboards you see their faces in very vulgar positions and things like that. In television and everywhere you see this. Protection of children.
It's very, very important at this point to make one point here regarding what Akinjan Prabhu said. Regarding this attraction, there's a purport here. I would like to read from that. Just 1 minute. Huh? 1:10:16. Huh? Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 10th chapter, text number 16. Prabhupada says interesting thing that whether we are men or women, what are our bodies made up of? Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Panchamahabhut. That's what it's made up of. What gives beauty to the body? The spiritual spark, the soul. See, even if a woman is very beautiful, if somebody is provided a dead woman, nobody will want to enjoy. One wants to enjoy a living woman, isn't it? Like you see in the shops, so many dolls of women standing, nobody wants to enjoy them. So what gives attraction to women is the living spark. But when that living spark is connected to the body of woman, it becomes a source of attraction for man and a distraction for man. That is why in the Vedic life, the shyness is considered a very great weapon. Like Prabhupada writes here in this. This is from 1:9:26. It's, as far as the woman class are concerned, they are accepted as a power of inspiration for men. As such, women are more powerful than men. Mighty Julius Caesar was controlled by a Cleopatra. Such powerful women are controlled by shyness. Therefore, shyness is important for women. Once the control valve is loosened, women can create havoc in society by adultery. Adultery means production of unwanted children known as Varna Sankara, who disturb the world. So, we have to admit the fact. See, we are taking a Vedic outlook and modern outlook today. But I am sitting in the center to give a compromised ISKCON outlook. You see, if women were so nicely protected, then why were they not happy? Why did they demand equality? If you see like that, certainly at a certain point of time or other, man has exploited women. In the Vedic life, wife is submissive to husband, and the husband is submissive to guru. But when husband does not surrender to your guru, then what happens? Then he tries to exploit his wife and think that she is my dasi. She is meant for serving me. And he treats her like a machine. That is why the woman wanted freedom. And then over a period of time, we find so many problems in society now today. So in our ISKCON, we don't propagate that women should stay at home and they should not go for a job. We don't propagate that. There are, in fact, the best of the preachers, women in ISKCON society, many of them are working in jobs. Many of the Matajis, they are working in jobs. And in many of our temples, we put a rope in the center. So one side men take darshan, another side women take darshan. Because we are not in the Vedic times, and we are not with the material world totally. But we are living in the material world, but we are trying to apply the Vedic principles. So women have come to a stage where they are educated, they are also doing activities, so we respect the woman. At the same time, in ISKCON society, it is certainly women are very much respected. Because it is only the men who exploited women and brought them to the point of trying to protect themselves. Like you see children, if you don't protect them, then they will have to protect themselves. Same thing happened with brahmanas. Like say in ISKCON we are brahmanas, we want to preach now. But are the kshatriyas of the Kali Yuga supporting our preaching? Are they helping us to build temples and propagate this knowledge? They are not doing that. Politicians are busy filling up their own pockets. So what are we supposed to do? Then we are trying to protect ourselves. We are trying to go out and conduct some courses, earn some money, build a temple, you know. Then try to propagate the knowledge as much as we can. So just as the brahmanas are not able to, brahmanas are not patronized by the politicians, same way the women are not properly protected. Because the man gave up religion. When the man gives up religion and gives up guru, then the woman has to protect herself. And the woman wants to go back to God, and she has to arrange for her own protection. So, we should not carry any wrong notion that we are saying that, you know, woman, that is why the Vedic life, we say there is modern life and there is ISKCON life. In ISKCON life, the women are respected as much as the men are respected. Like there are men preachers, there are women preachers also. Worldwide preaching, like Urmila Mataji was giving a class in Chaupati temple recently. So when they go to very high elevated spiritual status, there is no difference between man and woman once they come to the spiritual platform. It is true actually, because spirit in the woman's body and a man's body, there is no difference. It's same in quality. But we are sitting in an external frame, mortal frame, which is differently designed for a dog and for a tiger and for a woman and for a man. These are different bodies. That should be understood. Next one you are saying about
So, protection of children. Now we see that in the modern scenario, children are systematically destroyed, not protected actually. You see, children, when they go to school, what all they learn? They learn foul language, they learn Darwin's theory, atheism, which is actually atheism. And you see, all the nasty habits like smoking, drinking, and all the various ill habits are learnt in school. Therefore, even devotees, parents, now they are afraid of sending their children to school, because school has become an institution where systematically atheism and bad culture is propagated and given to the children.
I can request all of you to come this side. You can't see the speaker. This half can come this side.
As we, you know, we are seeing the results also. In 1960s and 70s, we see that the common problem in children was, you know, children were bunking school, they were losing interest in coming to school. And later on, in somewhere around 80s and 90s, problems in schools were that, you know, children were, you know, they were sticking chewing gums under the desks, and very minor problems. Then later on, in somewhere around 1990s and 2000, the problem was that they went to school, or, you know, they were carrying weapons. Problems increased, you know, and the problems were really, so that we can see that there's systematic degradation taking place in the modern way of education. Whereas in the Vedic time, it was quite different. They were taught, you know, protected, they were taught Brahmacharya principles and things like that. So that's not really happening yet.
Can we blame the schools for that? She's asking.
Yes. So actually, we'll have to go back to the Vedic system. It is said, Brahmachari Vasandanto Guru Kule Guru Hitam Acharan Dasva Nicho Guru Sudrida Swarada. That the in the Gurukula, when the teacher would be teaching, the guru would be teaching the students, he would be very exemplary in his behavior. You know, he would be following very high spiritual standards, and he would set an example. He would tell the student, this is that. But you see, in the modern this thing, it's very difficult to do that, because we don't have, you know, we have more of giving information than values in schools these days. You know, it's more of information giving. Schools, the children are not taught values. How many schools you see are giving value education? Very little. And even if they're giving values, we go to schools and give value education lectures. Many teachers tell us that we are also teaching the same message, but it is really, we cannot have that much impetus to speech, because, you know, we are not really practicing. And we do not get conviction in what we say. We say, you know, you should be religious, devoted to God, when they themselves are not devoted to God. So giving information, see, you can have information, but there may not be any transformation of our hearts. So it's true that, you know, the modern environment is like that. It's true that, you know, it's the media, the internet, and, you know, so many things. The environment itself is so bad, but still we should know that in schools it's a big carrier of all these nasty things which is going on. Drugs and all these things are there. If you see in the West, it's all happening. These teachers are afraid to, you know, correct the students, because next day they may find that the student is coming with 4 or 5 other people and they may get, you know, mugged, or they may get like that. So school, yes, that is true. It is not. See, there are good schools, there are bad schools. But I'm saying it generally. Like, for example, in one institution, one professor was teaching the students, college students, some formula, scientific formula, holding a cigarette in his hand. You know, he was teaching, this is it, and, you know, he's x square, and, you know, he's teaching some integral calculus, and he's holding one cigarette in his hand, and he's giving a lecture like that. If you go to MBA colleges, you'll find like this. And you find the teacher comes out of class, and he opens his cigarette packet, removes a cigarette, and lights a cigarette, and he sits in the canteen, drinks tea, and sometimes at night, he will go around with the students, and he will go and sit in the beer bar and have liquor. It happened to me. I used to see all my students, all my teachers, you know, do that in school. So, what example is he setting to the students, you see? So, what we are saying is of a very high standard, actually. A guru used to follow the 4 regulative principles, which is unimaginable these days. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. These days, everyone, most of the people are breaking all these 4 principles every day. So, you see, the standard has so degraded that we cannot think also. That, you know, is this possible these days? But in the Vedic time, it was. So in that sense, it is being degraded. Same thing, like the goal is shifted. You know, the goal is not sense control, but, you know, leaving the senses, you know, just wild. So in that sense, I mean, am I clear?
In any case, we are discussing the impact of modern...
...to the school, and he said, what is the... he came to inspect the school, what is being taught. So he came and asked a question. Who broke the bow of Lord Ram? Of Lord Shiva? So you know the answer. Lord Ram came and broke the bow. So none of the students were picking up their hand because they didn't know the answer. So the teacher, inspector, he picked up one student and he said, yes, you tell me. So the student was so afraid, he said, I didn't break the bow. So the inspector said, what is this? What's going on? I mean, he asked the teacher, teacher, what's this? You're not teaching them any values. And so he said, no, I think he must be lying. He only might have broken the bow. After some time, the inspector was bewildered. He's thinking, what's wrong? What's happening here? So he goes to the principal and he says, so what's going on in your school? There's no value education being taught. They don't know who broke the bow of Lord Shiva. It's surprising. I asked the student. He said he didn't break it. I asked the teacher. He said that he might have broken it. So principal said, please relax. Cool down. Whoever has broken it, we'll compensate for the damage. So the idea is that, you know, value education has become a thing of the past. There is no training, value education, sense control, things being given in schools. That's why we see our organization is trying to introduce these value education courses in schools. Not just, you know, being educated. Because if you see in this world, maximum trouble is caused by the educated people only. You see, the people who went and crashed the aircraft into the 11th September, you know, Twin Towers, they were not Anguta Chhap, as they say, you know. They were educated people. So, you see, if there is education being given, only knowledge being given, but if there's no transformation of the heart and culture and these things being introduced, then there's going to be havoc in this society. So, unfortunately, these principles are not known, even to the teachers, actually, so-called modern teachers, who may be pious also. A best pious person in the society may be meat eaters. He may be eating cow meat and things like that.
May I just, you made a mention about that children are learning how foul languages, other wrong things. I'm certainly aware that school teachers, as such, they are not teaching anything wrong. They may not be teaching values, but they are certainly not teaching them how to use foul language. Misconception when we talk about educated people. Educated is not the one who is going to the school. He may not have seen the school, but he is still educated because whatever sanskaras or whatever understanding he has taken from the world or his environment, and that is what is more important. So, even in the modern times, to say that the schools are causing all these ill effects may not be understood and accepted by most of the people.
You said a very wonderful point that the teachers are not teaching these things. But as it is said, the values are not taught. They are caught. You cannot teach values to them. You know, you have to show by your personal example these things. So, if you see the teacher, they will imitate the teacher. For them, the role models are the teachers. So, the teaching just doesn't begin or end in the class.
Like you gave example, I remember when I was a child, my teacher used to have something called what is called ganja. He was a very good professor, but he used to come every day chewing a pan. He used to have this. Every student knew what he is eating. But none of us picked up that habit. Till date, I have not tasted it. I have seen all the students, they have not done it. How does it happen? And when you teach them 100 good things, they don't pick up single one. You don't teach a single bad thing, they will pick up 100. How does it happen? The responsibility of teaching values is not only in the school to the teachers, but from anyone he is picking up, he becomes his teacher. And anything which is liked by most of us is actually bad. And what is actually good, nobody likes it. So, that is the irony of the life.
Actually, what we are speaking from the point of view, that's good. You didn't pick up this bad habit is good. You are a very wonderful and noble child, probably. But we are talking about ideal teachers. Don't you think between two teachers, if you were a principal to select two teachers, one teacher is there who is a mathematics professor. He doesn't have any bad habits. No meat eating, illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, very pure life. And there's another person who is, he takes ganja and he is teaching. Whom would you choose? For your child, imagine that, okay, you know, as Mukundanand Prabhu was saying, that your child is going to that school. Which teacher would you prefer to teach your child?
See, if a choice is given, suddenly the person who is not having any bad habits should be chosen.
Yes.
But what he is teaching, as far as his capability to teach that particular subject, it is not interfering, then suddenly he should be curbed not to show the bad example. But as far as his teaching acumen is concerned, if he is good and he is teaching well, and during that, if there is nothing wrong.
Yeah, see, actually, you see, we are discussing the principles here. See, details may vary. You get the point? Principle is that the teacher must be pure. Now, the details may vary. How, you know, we are going to details now. So, let's discuss principles because there is no end to the discussion, you know. You get the point? So
I suppose that teacher, when you are seeing, only you are specifically saying a person who is teaching in a school or a college. Whereas I take it that teacher is anybody and everybody from whom I learn. Good or bad, he is a teacher. So in the overall society, if there are good teachers or the people who can be emulated, they are the teachers in that sense. I mean, this is what
See, one point is very correct that it is not only the teachers, because I am myself a teacher. But basically, children are going to school to learn, correct? They are not going to theater to learn, or they are not going to media to learn, they are not going to newspaper to learn. So the learning process, the teaching learning process is basically with the schools. That is one point. Second point is that the modern concept is that your professional life is completely different than your personal life. You know, you may be a debauchee, no problem. Your competence is seen. You can solve some complex mathematics and you are a rascal, no problem. But that is what not the Vedic idea is. Vedic idea is that teacher is called as Acharya. Acharya means he shows by his own acharan. You are getting. So therefore, just like input is like this, a debauchee, a character with great competence, output is like this only, September 11. You are getting. That is the problem. So better to have a civilization which is less competent but highly characterized than to have a civilization which has great competence but no character. Correct? So that is.
Session, or discussion rather. And the point was made, what is the goal of life in modern times? We said it is wealth. So the teacher is there to just to earn wealth. He is not there to give the teaching.
Yeah.
If he was really dedicated to give the teaching, he himself would lead a good life. He will teach the children a good life. But nowadays the teachers are just coming to the class to earn their salary at the month. So we just can't expect them to give, because the whole idea which we started was earning of wealth. So that is the goal.
Yeah.
That is what the teachers are doing.
One very important
That's
thing
what the education
in, is. One very important thing in this conversation is, see, we should not, we are not labeling anyone as bad, or we are not, see, it's very important, we are taking an objective outlook to the Vedic life and modern life. And we have to find out how things were and how things have become, and how things should be. That's the purpose of seeing all these things. As they all were discussing also today, I can very confidently say, what I am today is because of some of my teachers in the school. You know, I have a great respect for people with behavior of high integrity and high character. It is because my moral science teacher who taught me in second, third and fourth and fifth standard, you know, I can never forget them, even till date. So they are my first gurus. And my composition with which I made up of is surely because of them. We cannot deny that. Even all of you here, somebody has touched your life, surely. Otherwise you won't have the kind of character that you all have now. If you take a look here in the hall now, there are about 200-300 students here, you know. So they are all going to the college also, and they may come across such teachers, as you said. But because they have been trained in the similar principles like the Vedic times, here they are coming across teachers like Mukundanand Prabhu. He is a professor in a college. And there are many other devotees from whom they are taking training. Despite the onslaught of media, cinema, movies and other things, as Mataji was very nicely saying that point, despite the onslaught of all these things, all these boys are strictly following the principles. That means, even when there is a heavy rain, you can have your own umbrella to save yourself from becoming drenched. It is possible. So we are not talking of some good old times like old men saying that in those days things were so good, what to do, you know. We have to be very practical, because we have to see how to live in the modern life. Living in the modern world, despite the attack of internet, despite the attack of blue films, and drug addiction and all kinds of bad habits, living in the midst of all of it, still as Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Padma Patram Ivambasa, how to live like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. That we should see. And all these children here, all these students here, they all are living such a life. How are they able to live? You see, we are all trying to give them some kind of training in a limited way, but you can see that they have picked up. That means this goes to show that not all people are bad. In one of our conversation, a gentleman was telling how generally people have a tendency to go towards bad. And then nobody likes good, he was telling. Of course, it may be there in this world that we identify with our bodies. We don't know that we are not the body, we are the soul. So we may show some inclination to bad. If everyone wanted bad, then why are all these people coming here? Isn't it? Why you all have come here? Certainly the soul by nature is pure. He always wants to be righteous. He always wants to be good. And given an opportunity, a soul can be pure. But unfortunately, the modern education system does not give you the opportunity to learn about God, to learn about soul, to learn about spiritual world and the good principles and values by which one's body, mind and soul can be kept in harmony with nature and God. That kind of education is not given. That's a very great curse of the modern education system. Srila Prabhupada used to say, modern educational system, the schools and colleges are like slaughterhouses where the children are taken and their intelligence is made more and more stouter. Just like the animals before cutting their necks, you know, they feed the animals with a lot of eatables. Make them very stout and you cut them. Similarly, you feed the students with information, you know, graphs and charts and more information, you make them very proud. You take an average boy in the modern times, is he not proud? You can see that they think they know a lot, but they have hardly any wisdom. They have a lot of information, but no wisdom. Profuse information, no wisdom. So here in our training, all the students who are here, they are so humble. How are they humble? Because they are getting the Vedic training. They are hearing the Shastras. Although they are studying in the college, they are getting their engineering degrees, medical degrees. But then they are learning, getting the Vedic training. Little bit of Vedic training they are getting, and you can see so much difference. But if this training is given in the schools and colleges, then we can do a mass scale change, a radical change in the society. That is what is a topic of discussion. Yeah. So it was a nice topic. Now there are many topics to discuss, but I would request the audience to choose which topic you want our devotees to speak on. So, which your topic?
What East can give to West? And what we can learn from the West?
Someone said, very famous anthropologist, although we are in the advanced atomic age, but our human brain belongs to the stone age. It only points out what you said. There should be a balance, body, mind, spirit, that is lacking.
Yeah.
We are overemphasizing the role of the regular system of education. They have only a small part to play in socializing the individual.
Yeah.
There are other environmental factors, the home atmosphere, what it is, the community atmosphere, what it is,
exactly.
And then the general political economic environment.
Yeah.
So all these things impinge, and then peer group influence. All these things influence the development of the individual personality. Everybody agrees.
But how the community or the other things become spoiled, the source is the school.
Ha! This is what we lack is, there is the integration and the spiritual and the physical growth, which is not there.
Yeah.
So that is where institutions like this must play a part.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Nice point. So any of you would like to choose some of the topics? Yeah? Because majority are asking about that, we can talk about it. So let us hear from the Vedic side what the Vedas talk about sense control and regulation in life. Yeah. You ready?
Life, as the sun would rise, people would rise to work. And as the sun would set, people would wind up their functioning and go to bed. So that's how people would live a regulated life. Regulated in sleeping, regulated in eating, regulated in recreation. The whole life from birth till death, it was regulated, and they would go, they would pursue the purpose of their human life, which is meant to go back home, back to Godhead, also in a very, very regulated way, sure shot, like that. So this is the beauty of Vedic life, which is very, very regulated. And this regulation was so much strongly imbibed in their life, that even we find just like in Mahabharata, when the conch would, both the parties would blow the conch, then the war would start. And when in the evening sun would set, they would again blow the conch and war would finish. That was the regulation. It was not that because we have enmity with among each other, so okay, sun has set, everyone is silent, let me kill each other, I mean, with some kind of another strategy. Nothing like that. Sometimes even Pandava's parties, like Arjuna himself went to Duryodhan, and so Duryodhan welcomed Arjuna. It was, I mean, he didn't misbehave with Arjuna that time. And Arjuna asked him the arrows, and Duryodhan gave him. So in this way, even Duryodhan, who was fighting with Pandavas, who would consider Pandavas as his enemy, but still, he behaved in a very regulated manner, lived a very regulated life.
And control is concerned, the current scenario preaches very widely that why to control senses. In fact, you can give freedom to senses because sense gratification is the goal of life. But in Vedic scenario, we see there is so much of mention about sense control. In fact, it says that spiritual life, one cannot imagine spiritual life if he is not sense controlled. So it's a beginning step itself for spiritual life. One very beautiful example comes to my mind. It's a practical example. There was one mother and she had two children. One of them was very sick. She had a fever, one small child. And the other child was the sister of that child. Both of them were daughters. So one daughter was having fever and second daughter, she was trying to take care of her. And this daughter who was sick, she was asking that, I'm feeling so much of hunger, so why don't you give me some puris? Because I am feeling like I should eat puris. But in a fever, if a person eats puris, we know that the fever will increase, isn't it? So, but this girl, small girl, what she knew about all these things? She was not knowing. So she went inside the kitchen and she herself saw that there are some puris. So she picked it and brought it and she fed her sister. thinking that if I please her demand, then probably she will be more comfortable. So in that course of action, her fever increased, and when mother came to know, she was very wild and she was chastising that other sister, other daughter, that why did you give that puris at all, because you didn't know that this is going to cause increase of fever. So similarly, when a person is diseased, and if sense gratification is given to him, naturally his disease is going to increase. So first of all, one has to understand that sense control or sense gratification, rather sense gratification, is a disease for a spiritual growth. So this fundamental understanding has to be there. Then only one can speak about sense control and all. Because first of all, nobody thinks that there is a need of sense control. So therefore, spiritual life begins with sense control. The spirit soul, he is part of the Supreme Lord, and to return back home, back to Godhead, is the goal of life. Unfortunately, because he has rebelled against the Supreme Lord, he is there in this material world, and identifying himself with the body, his goal of life has become sense gratification. So that's why as and when a person goes on doing sense gratificatory activity, he is bound by the laws of nature. Because human life is not a life of relaxation, but it's a life of responsibility. And especially human life, Shastra says, is only meant for self-realization. So human life only is the way for a conditioned soul who has become separated from the Lord and suffering his own activities can go back home, back to Godhead by understanding spiritual principles. So therefore, it's mandatory for a person who really wants to deliver himself from miserable situation to learn the principle of sense control. So this is the principle, basic principle, which has been enunciated in the Vedic literatures.
I feel this topic would be appearing to be a little abstract of sense control. It's not abstract at all. It's very simple. If you take some examples, scriptures say, Atmendriya priti van chatare balikam, Krishnendriya priti cha dhare premanam. They say, if you use your senses to enjoy life, selfishly, that is called as kam, it says. Krishnendriya priti cha dhare premanam, which means, if you use your senses to serve the Lord, worship Him, then that is called as prem. So this is the difference between kam and prem, lust and love. This is the difference. So now when we talk of sense control, what do we mean? We can see that we have many urges in this world. For example, we have urge to speak about all the things that are happening. You see in the train or the bus, people keep constantly talking, isn't it? That's called vachavegam. And our mind wanders here and there, demanding many, many things. It is said, the demands of the mind is increasing in geometric progression, but our ability to fulfill them increases only in arithmetic progression. It is said, so many demands our mind makes. Similarly, we become angry with others. We are unable to control the urge of anger. Similarly, vachavegam, manasavegam, krodhavegam, jihvavegam, our tongue has the urge of wanting to taste some delicacy, which is far, far away. Some continental, which is far away, we are ready to travel 40 kilometers to get some particular item to taste. That's the urge of the tongue. Similarly, udaravegam, upastavegam. The urges of the belly is so strong that people, once you sit to eat, sometimes you are unable to control yourself. You overeat. You end up overeating and then you later on suffer indigestion and constipation and all kinds of problems. Like that. And upastha vegam is the urge of the sex life, urges of the genitals. So Shastras clearly say that there is no ambiguity. We all have these urges, we cannot deny that. In different proportions we have. Now what's wrong with trying to enjoy these urges? Like if somebody says, what's wrong with, you know, enjoying the tongue or the stomach or the genitals or becoming angry, what's wrong in that? Why can't we let the senses loose in whatever direction they want to go and just be happy in life? Who can say what's wrong? What is the problem? What will happen if you let your senses loose in any direction? Please give the mic. You can tell in the place. No, mic, yeah. Mic on.
If a rogi, I mean a bhogi, tries to become a yogi, then he becomes a rogi. That is the one liner about it. The sense control is more important, then only we can be a yogi.
Yeah. So three things people often used to say, bhogi, rogi and yogi. So if one doesn't become a yogi, then one will become a rogi by allowing the senses to wander in any direction.
Sir, if the sense control is not there, yeah, it will create trouble for the others. It will create a chaos in the society.
Very good.
Everything will be irregular.
Yes.
No, nothing will work out.
Yeah.
So society will be in a
chaos.
Chaos.
Yeah. It's trouble to oneself and trouble to others. You know, one fellow, he was a drunkard. But he gave up the habit, but he had the tendency. So once he drank and drove a plane, some 1,300 people died in that plane crash. So as he rightly said, one fellow who has lack of sense control can, you know, kill so many people like that. Yeah. But we have to also know the purpose of controlling the senses. As he made a good example, he said now, all of us in this world are considered to be like people with disease, in a feverish state. Like if you have a fever, naturally you control your tongue, is it not? You don't eat anything you want in order to subside the fever. Is there anyone who will want to increase the fever by eating oil items and things like that? So Prabhupada quotes this example in Ishopanishad. He says modern life means increasing the material fever more and more. Like you see, all the senses are agitated. Like the posters that you see, the movies that you see, the dealings of the people. Everything is prepared in such a manner that it agitates your mind and senses like that. So what will happen if we let the senses loose? Then we will be bound tightly with the ropes. The more you become bound, more and more and more you become tightly bound. You cannot escape from this world. It's not possible. In fact, Brahma is the first created living being. Brahmaji. And he was in pitch darkness. When he wanted to know the truth, what did he do? He controlled his mind and senses. And he performed tapas, austerity. And then he became enlightened. He got the darshan of the Lord. So if we learn how to regulate and control the senses, we don't say you suppress the senses. One has to regulate the senses. Yukta ahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. It is said. So one should control the eating habit, sleeping habit and recreation habits. So if you control these things, then you will see that our mind and senses become calm, cool and collected. Then in such a state it is very easy to focus on God. And then we can get out of this encagement, this kind of cage in which we are sitting. That is why there is a saying, if you don't engage in Lord's service, you will become encaged. You will become put in this cage. So we are already in the cage now of this material body. If you have to escape it, we have to have regulation in this. Like food, for example, if you eat sattvic food, you behave sattvic. If you eat rajasic food, you behave rajasic. If you eat tamasic food, you behave tamasic. And the same way with sleep also. If you sleep early, and if you wake up early, and then perform your spiritual duties in the early morning, then you get a very firm control over your mind and senses. So throughout the day, one can live a pure life without getting agitated. In the Bhagavatam, there is an example of a man who is controlled by five wives. All the wives are, one wife is pulling his neck, another wife is pulling his hand, another wife is pulling another hand like that. So they all are telling, come to my room, you enjoy with me. So the purpose is the wives are calling him to different room because they know if I can snatch him away from the other wives and take him to my room, then I can plunder all his money. That is their idea. So these five wives are compared to the five senses. Imagine the condition of a man. The tongue is pulling us to eat delicious items. And after you eat, the stomach is saying, oh, it is wonderful, give me more. Then the stomach sometimes, you know that you already eaten, stomach is full. You got a big burp. Still you feel that, you know, it is so tasty, I have to eat it more. See, people get diseases not due to getting less food. Many people get diseases because of overeating. You ask the doctors, they will tell you. Majority of the diseases come because of overeating. And then when one overeats, then one, once genitals are agitated, then one wants sex life after that. Then all the senses actually are like this. Wives pulling the man like that. In spiritual life, one should keep the senses and the mind calm, cool and collected. So in the Vedic life, there is a regulation given. How one should have moderate eating habits. And moderate sleeping. And moderate recreation. Modern life, they will tell you more about how the senses and mind are let loose. And what problems they lead to.
Hare Krishna. The common saying in many, many t-shirts, as you see, the Nike saying, just do it. Animals only just do it, right? Then what happens? Just suffer it. But many of the devotees are wearing this IVF t-shirt. Something is different written. Look before you leap. Don't just do it. Because as you sow, so shall you reap. Also, very nice picture I was seeing. Many of the IVF books, it is there. A person, all his hair is standing on his end, on the end, you know. He's nicely there in a hot water tub, carrying the remote control. He's watching a movie and he's having earphones plugged and hearing some rock music. And at the press of the button, everything is happening. But one thing is totally uncontrolled. What is it? Mind and all the senses are totally uncontrolled. Although he's trying from every side, somehow it is not happening. It is easy to climb the Mount Everest. It is easy to go under the fathomless depths of the ocean. It is easy to go to the Arctics and the Antarctics, but it is difficult to control the senses. Also, Arjuna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Alexander was told, Alexander the Great, right? But what happened? He was a dancing lapdog in the hands of the woman, right? We see that we are always controlled in this world. All of you have come to this temple, right? When the traffic signal was red, did anyone barge your car or scooter in front? Didn't we stop? Lectures are generally very boring in the colleges. Does any student have the guts to go and slap his lecturer? Just shut up now. Enough of your boring nonsense. He's controlled. Every time we are controlled. When we get an urge of nature in the morning, you know, we immediately have to rush. Or if we get a pain in the teeth, you know, immediately we have to rush to the dentist. So we are being controlled every time. But when it comes to what God says, just control one thing, the senses, why should we? Why should we control? There we ask the question, but whole day recklessly we are being controlled at every step. We can analyze our own lives and see that. Also, that body chariot example, you can imagine, everyone knows, the device students also, those who have attended, the five senses are the five horses. The mind is the rope, and the person who is controlling the horses, he's the intelligence. Just imagine there are five crazy horses which are running in all the five different directions. What is going to happen to the chariot? It will just topple over. Very difficult. Not only every religion has one common thing, right? In Islamic religion, they follow this Ramzan, right? Where they control their tongue, they control the genitals. And also there are different methods of austerities in different religions like fasting and other things, which also teach us sense control. As Radhesham Prabhu already mentioned regarding regulation, Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that cause of all disease is unregulated diet and rest. One very nice example one devotee was giving. Nowadays, you know, in the previous Vedic times, people used to draw water from the wells. They used to go farming. The chakki, they would, you know, do the physical work, but presently, you know, they are having chips, putting the remote control with a bowl and eating a lot, and then they have to go to the gym and do the same thing in the machine, right? So these are all the things which happen because of uncontrolled senses. One important feature of sense control is that initially what appears like nectar becomes poison later. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. You will see initially when you do try to enjoy the senses, when we try to enjoy, initially it feels great. It feels very great. As the very common saying goes, with a cigarette in my hand, I feel like a man. Later what happens? I become a dead man. So when bronchogenic carcinoma covers his lungs, you know. So initially he was feeling like a man, but later he became a dead man. Take any sense. A person is watching blue movies with his eyes. So that time he feels very nice, but then years together those impressions stay. So again, a matter of tongue. One thing is how much can we enjoy? Instead of this much salt, can we take this much? A person may be very rich or he may be very poor. How much can he enjoy? sex has become a very big taboo in this material world, you know. Everyone is waiting for the great day. If sex was giving the greatest pleasure, the prostitute should have been the most happiest people. They should have been the happy Prince of Wales in this world. But recently a survey was done. According to the WHO statistics, the most frustrated people, World Health Organization statistics, the most frustrated people, even in Pune, there were 2-3 surveys done, are the prostitutes. They are having open sex, free sex. They are enjoying their senses like anything. So also the example is given of adding ghee in fire. If you add ghee in fire, what will happen? The fire will increase. The more we try to enjoy the senses, the more it will increase. There are only 2 ways by which you can stop. One religion says, you know, from sex to super consciousness. You know, just do it, do it, do it so that you get bored. So 2 ways can be there to stop it. Either stop adding ghee or add so much that it just... But we don't have that capacity of adding so much. How much can we eat? How much we can enjoy the senses? So better is to regulate that. Also, the only way of self-control, the sense control, is to engage the senses in the Lord's service rather than artificially suppressing them. As the psychologists say, you press a spring hard, 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 and one day it will revert back. And it will be a big blow. So I would like to end by saying, the materialists say, as far as sense gratification and enjoying the senses go, try, try, try till you succeed. But we say something different. Try, try, try till you cry.
So it's very important, self-control, not to misunderstand it as a deprivation. Let me ask a question to the audience, especially the DYS course audience. Is practice of religion a deprivation? Is practicing religion a deprivation? Would you like to answer this question? You can give the mic. Where is another mic? Do or does religion advocate deprivation? Yeah, give the mic.
I would answer it in a slightly different way. In fact, I want to clarify one thing, and that is what I call discipline. This word has not been used, but I feel both the control of the senses and regulation of the life ultimately mean having a discipline.
Yeah.
And anything in excess acts like poison. Similarly, over gratification through your senses leads to poisoning of your body as well as soul.
Perfect. Yeah.
So that is the point which I would like to make. And the discipline should be given more importance. Yes. I mean, when we say, why should I control my senses, there is ambiguity, because, and this question I would also like to pose to the Vedic life devotees, that when we say control, whether in modern life we understand that parameters are defined. If we do not regulate temperature in a conditioned room, or as the God has done, that the precise distance has been kept between the earth and the sun, what is it? He has regulated it. So if we deviate from that parameter, the result is going to be a disaster.
Yes.
So what are those Vedic times parameters for controlling all your senses? There are 5 senses. The defined parameters, normal parameters within which one should enjoy these senses, if it is known, probably the discipline would be easier.
Yeah.
The control over the self-control would be easier to formalize in everybody's mind.
Yeah.
Probably that is not known. That is why you overeat.
Yeah.
You overindulge in whatever your senses are trying to please you.
Yeah.
So this discipline is required. In modern times, we understand if there is a red light, you stop. But at night when you are moving at 12 o'clock, there are no lights. Yeah. Traffic is still there. And there is no chaos.
Control, yeah.
Because there is less traffic. But there are places where there will be no traffic, but still lights are on and people will stop. Whether people are there or not, traffic will come. The lights will come, lights will go. So the controls are to be regulated, and the regulated controls will lead to the discipline.
Yeah.
That is a cycle which has to be maintained.
Yeah. Even the discipline that you said now is not only for our well-being. Of course, I agree with you that when we are disciplined, that leads to our well-being. But there is an ultimate purpose to it. Even the discipline has ultimate purpose to it. In the liberated platform, you know the meaning of liberated platform, that means when we die, when the soul comes out of the body, the soul also has spiritual senses. The soul has its own eyes. The soul has ears. The soul has hands. But the soul is made up of spiritual substance. Satchidananda, as we say. Eternity, knowledge and bliss. So in the spiritual world, the soul with his spiritual body is engaged in the Lord's seva, Lord's service, eternally, in some form. The soul is engaged in Lord's service. So now we have left that spiritual world and we have come to this material world. So now we are covered over by this man, buddhi and ahankar. And then over and above that we have this panchamahabhut, earth, water, fire, air, ether now. The biggest problem here is, now we are, the soul is seeing through the eyes now. But the soul is looking at the material body and identifying with the material body. So we think, I am a man and that is a woman. But although in woman's body, man's body, a similar type of soul is present. This is the reason why we want to gratify our senses. The soul by nature is pleasure seeking, even in the spiritual world. But the pleasure can be attained only when the soul serves the Lord. So now he has given up that service, he has come here. Now somehow or other he wants to get pleasure. And he is trying to find out some way. And the path of least resistance is sense gratification, which we say. And he thinks that this will make me happy. And just like an animal chasing the mirage in a desert. So we are also chasing the bodily pleasures in this world. Why, like we were talking about the media and other things, why people want to see blue films, why they want to eat all kinds of things? Because we think that these things are going to give us pleasure. And then when we do them, sometimes we realize that they are unable to give pleasure that they promised, you know, earlier like that. So we have to, people keep on struggling after many, many lifetimes. They come to this understanding that this kind of endeavor for sense pleasure will only lead me to frustration. They understand. And that is the time we turn to God. Now we all fortunately have come to God. So what is the best way to regulate our senses? Not by negating them. There are some people who say, you leave everything and go to Himalayas. That's not the solution. In Bhagavatam it is said how, with the eyes, you know, we want to see beautiful forms with the eyes. So we should see the beautiful form of Radha and Krishna, like here you see. The beautiful forms of the Lordships. And with the ears, we should hear that song that glorifies God, like we sing Hare Krishna, Mahamantra we sing. By hearing that repeatedly, it is something like bringing a person out of his amnesia. Somebody has got amnesia disease and has forgotten mother, father, brother, sister, everyone. So you tell him everything about the home, about mother, father, and slowly bring him back to the original consciousness. Like that, by hearing the Mahamantra, what happens? We start remembering our original home, that I belong to the spiritual world. I don't belong to this world. Then we can see that everyone here, they all are children of God. They are all my brothers and sisters. And originally, I don't belong to this world, I belong to the spiritual world. So by hearing like that, with the mouth, what we should do? We should eat only prasad. And we don't eat food that is not offered. And when we eat prasad, what happens? The things that come out of the mouth also become spiritual. When we eat prasad, we speak spiritually. And when we eat non-prasad, then we also speak materially like that. With the tongue. And similarly, other senses also. With our hands and legs, we offer various services to God. You know, there were two sons of Kubera called as Nalakur Manigrip. Because they were rich man's sons. You know, in the modern times also you see rich man's sons, how they misuse their father's property. They take a big car, they go in the town, you know, they drink liquor and they do all kinds of things. So these two boys, sons of Nalakur Manigrip, sons of Kubera, they also went to a Mandakini Ganga and they were playing in the waters with women. And they were drinking liquor and everything. And Naradmuni passed by and saw these people in such a horrible condition, naked bodies. So he cursed them to become trees. That you are misusing your human form of life, you become trees. So they became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj in Vrindavan. And then later on, you know the pastime, how Krishna, you know, he was tied to the grinding mortar. He went between the trees and he cracked those two trees, Tamalajan trees, huge trees. And out came these two, Nalakur and Manigrip. So that time they offered prayer. My dear Lord, with these hands we have done so many nonsensical activities. Now we want to use the same hands for worshipping you. And every one of the senses of our body, we want to use it in His service. That is the best sense control. And we will see that we are not trying to artificially create a vacuum in our heart by trying to suppress the senses. Like in a bulb, you try to create a vacuum, what happens? You know, you cannot eradicate oxygen totally. There will be some traces always. And then sometimes you find the vacuum explodes, the big sound. But instead of that, if you fill up the bulb with, you know, argon or xenon or krypton, some inert gas, then oxygen automatically is thrown out. Similarly, what we do with our heart, we don't create a vacuum in our heart by trying to become desireless. That is not our process. There are so many people going to Himalayas trying to become desireless, but they return to their homes later, many people. They fall from their, like Vishwamitra. He tried to renounce everything, trying to become desireless, but then he fell prey to Menaka later on. So we don't try to do that kind of process. Rather, what we do, we try to engage our senses in positive service to the Lord. Like you all have come here, you are hearing a lecture today. So this hearing is also a particular type of seva. You call it Shravana Seva, hearing. And then you'll sing kirtans. So that is kirtanam. And then we remember the Lord in the mind, that is smaranam. And then we are offering prasadam. That is also another type of service. So even in this day and age, in Kali Yuga, such a degraded atmosphere, one can remain totally like having a bulletproof covering by doing this kind of spiritual activities. And we can control our senses. See, we are not here to discuss about how to show a sense control like a yogi or a jnani. But in our society, Srila Prabhupada taught us how, when one engages the senses in Lord service, senses will automatically become controlled. Like you have seen the snake, you know. What is the greatest fear that people have when they see a snake? What is the fear? Why do we fear a snake? Because the snake has a teeth, fang, which has got a poison. So as long as the snake has the teeth, we are very fearful of the snake. But once the teeth is removed, then there is no fear. Then you can even take a snake and put him on your lap. You can't do anything. You have no fear of the snake. So what does the snake charmer do? He plays this, no? You know, plays. You know, when he plays, then the snake, you know, snake will gradually become intoxicated, you know. He will come and stand in front of him. When he comes near him, he'll immediately catch his neck, and he will put this thing inside and remove the teeth, you know. He'll pull off the teeth. And once the teeth is removed, finished, now he is harmless. Similarly, all of us have a poisonous teeth. What is the poisonous teeth? That is our paap karne ki pravritti. Sinful mentality is there. Eyes want to see bad things. Ears want to hear bad things. Hands and legs want to do bad things. So that is actually the sinful teeth. So when we sing Hare Krishna and we dance, what happens? We are like that. We dance like that. So we get totally intoxicated in the Lord's names. When we eat prasad, when we hear, when we see the Lord's pictures. And then Lord Krishna is called as Hari. What is the meaning of Hari? He takes away all your inauspiciousness. Whatever inauspiciousness is in our heart, he takes it away. And then you cannot believe what kind of person I was and how my heart has become so transformed. Lord has taken away all my inauspiciousness. Like that. Such a very easy process to control our senses and mind. And then later on you will also see the regulation sets in. Automatic regulation will come in eating and sleeping and decoration and all habits, it will come. So we should try to engage in positive devotional service. Without having to endeavor to simply trying to artificially repress the senses. Yeah, you have a mic with you?
Uttarvesha. And you may have to give the answer to that. The general public, common man, that religious life or spiritual life means renunciation or a sadhu life. You yourself said people need not go to Himalayas. So they have a misconception that, but according to our shastras, you have four stages of life.
Yeah.
You pass through, you enjoy life. But unfortunately, we think of spiritual life only to at the end, at the time of retirement. Not the youth are not infused with the spiritual life, the component. You can have both. People say for education, for they catch them young. These Christians do that.
Yeah.
They have a system of Bible classes as a part of the education system and extracurricular activities. Unfortunately, Hinduism, we have been neglecting it. Secondly, the control comes in when you have this process of meditation. Meditation, you need not wait till the time of retirement. You can, even the youth...
Is it loud enough? Volume is loud enough? Yeah.
This meditation can start at any time of the life. Yeah. Even the youth can take to meditation,
yeah,
do some japas, 10, 20, 30 minutes.
Yes.
Then they are able to control their mind.
Yeah.
Then it leads to other aspects also. Mm. There are fallout benefits.
Yes.
So the parents themselves don't do this, so they are not able to hand it over to others. Mm. There are some families, they are this religious oriented, they do this the small deities at home, and the women do this puja, and then the japa, and then these elders also do it, and then they also guide their children also do this japa for some time.
Mm-hmm.
I know some families read this Sundara Kandam of Ramayana, or some slokas.
Mm-hmm.
Some families do that, but it is not widespread, because parents themselves don't believe in this spiritual growth at this point of time.
Yeah.
This is one thing that you people should take the responsibility. Association like this should have classes for these youths. During the summer, they do not know what to do with these children during these 3 months of vacation.
Mm.
So you must organize in association with the schools and take them even out of the cities. Go to a quiet place like the mountains and picnic, combine recreation camp, education, religious instruction as a part of the development of the child. I think that is one you'll have
to do. That's very brilliant. Very brilliant. Thank you very much. What's your good name? What's your good name?
Gopalan.
Very brilliant. That is a very brilliant point. Very nice point, yeah. We appreciate that very much. Actually, you'll find in ISKCON, children and youths are very happy practicing Krishna consciousness. Because the spiritual life is offered in such a nice package. You see, the philosophy has to be packed with family atmosphere, love, care, attention, and the process should be practicable. It should not be very dry. Like some organizations, they teach about, you know, simply fasting all day, and at night 9 o'clock they give you one carrot, you know. So, you know, you will run away, you know. But Prabhupada made it very easy to practice, you know. He said that, you know, whatever you eat, offer it to Lord first, and then you eat as prasadam. And then there is music. Okay, you want to hear music, then you sing spiritual songs, you know. So you want some food for the intellect, then you have philosophy, like the one we are discussing now. For every one of our mind, senses and intellect, you can give spiritual food, you know, by which we can be totally nourished. And in ISKCON Society, Prabhupada created so many festivals like Rath Yatra, you know, and there is Janmashtami, there is Radhashtami, there is Gaur Purnima, and also in the temples you can see the deities very gorgeously decorated. You know, those who have a desire for creativity, they decorate the Lord with beautiful dresses and ornaments and jewelry. Every single day, the Lord is dressed twice, morning and evening. He is dressed 2 times in a day. And Mataji is like cooking very much. So they have the kitchen department where they can cook and offer bhoga to deities. They like making jewelry. They like making dresses for the Lord. And similarly, youths, they have a very great intellect. They like intellectual discussion. So Prabhupada gave his books. Bhagavatam Prabhupada printed in 18 volumes. Bulky volumes. Like they have the first canto here. And he has given over 100 books. You can imagine how much hard work he must have put in writing those books. And all the books are so wonderful. Our intellect is totally satisfied. Our logic avenue, reasoning avenue is totally satisfied when we read those books, you know. And our mind is very pleased. Mind becomes totally satisfied by engaging in all these different activities. That is why you find when one sincerely engages in devotional service, then controlling mind and senses, you don't use the word control at all. Mind and senses automatically become overjoyed with so much of happiness and so much of unending happiness. And one can just go on and on like this, hundreds and thousands of years. One doesn't feel the time passing, how the time passes, one can go on. And you'll find all over the world, wherever you go, you find ISKCON having many educated people, many young boys, young girls, and children coming, very happily practicing. Because it is something one can do even while living in the midst of society. One doesn't have to, renounce living in the world, or one doesn't have to, you know, you don't have to plug your nose or stand upside down, you know, and do some severe type of practices, or you don't have to learn Sanskrit to become a big scholar. The knowledge is very, very simple. So Prabhupada taught this Bhakti Yoga, as given by Lord Krishna and Bhagavad Gita, such a very easy thing. Lord sees your heart, with what consciousness, with what heart you offer. Patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, yome, bhakti, aprachati. So, one's senses and mind become controlled by Lord, because the mind is actually Lord's energy. It is not our energy, it's Lord's energy. So if Lord wants to control the mind, then he can order our mind to be controlled. But we cannot control our mind by our own endeavor. And we will see when we chant Hare Krishna, automatically mind becomes controlled by that. So thank you all very much for your patient hearing and nice participation. We would like to do kirtan for about 15 minutes now. With kirtan we will end and then we can have prasadam.